We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
What up, everybody, and welcome in to Trust the Tape, presented by Boomer Jacks. You may check boomerjacks.com to find the one nearest you because they are all over the place, and it is the finest sports watching venue in the DFW Metroplex and the world. Boomer Jacks, thank you for bringing us Trust the Tape. I'm Jeff Cavanaugh. You can find me on Twitter at JC1053 or on YouTube at youtube.com/Jeff Cavanaugh.
That's not a bad way to find you, by the way.
It's not a
terrible
YouTube way.
YouTube thing, like, you know, the Twitter stuff you're good at, but your YouTube stuff, people need to check that out more.
Thank you, Brian. This is at Brian Broaddus on the Twitter, where you can check him out there, or you can come to his house. Did you want to give out that address, or is there anywhere else people should find you?
No, I just show up at your house a lot.
Okay, come to my house. Yeah. Brian will see you at my house.
Yep, I'll be there.
This is probably going to be my favorite Trust the Tape to date because I'm finally watching college football players.
And did I shame you into doing that?
No, not necessarily shame. If it were shame, I would have started a week or two ago. This was more, hey, the Natty is coming up Monday.
Sure.
Let's talk about the prospects before it gets played. And so it was time to go watch Georgia and watch Alabama. And I would like to apologize to the Roll Tide fans. Because I was looking around at some other people's rankings. We obviously look at Dane Brugler's top 50 on the Athletic as a starting point.
Yes.
And then I also cross-checked with some Pro Football Focus for their rankings. I have not watched the Bama defense yet. I know that safety Jordan Battle is considered a really good player.
Yeah.
Will Anderson, the pass rusher, is the best pass rusher in the country, but he's not eligible for the draft yet.
Yeah.
But I got the Bama offensive top prospects done, and I got the Georgia prospects done. So
yeah, I'm the same way. What I did was I started my list with Dane Brugler's top 50. And as you know, Jeff, I'm allergic to quarterbacks.
Yep.
I've already looked at three quarterbacks.
Why?
It was the list. It was the way that Brugler had them
ranked.
Oh, you
actually watched? Oh, my God.
Yeah.
What's wrong with
and
you?
I am usually the
you
guy.
You know, we skip those until March or February.
I know. And I'm interested to see if my assessment of what just watching tape might just hold true.
Yeah.
You know, that like, okay, tape watching is better than watching Combine or listening to people around the country tell me this guy doesn't have big enough hands or he's too short or he's too this or too that. So the great thing about starting this process right now is it's all about watching tape. And that to me is my favorite thing. Now, what will happen is we'll get to the combine and there'll be some kind of medical condition or something that takes these guys down the board or maybe even raises them up. Who knows? But, yeah. So
Pickett or Corral, Brian?
Or
Ritter? Or how many did you watch?
I've got
Willis?
I've got Willis done. And I'll tell you one thing. Old Krusty here, there was a time where Old Krusty might not have taken a look at a guy like Willis, might not have given him his due.
Here's your sidebar, everybody. National title game coming up, but Brian's watched players. He's going to tell you about it.
Yeah, but I'll tell you this about Willis, and if I could. And this kid's 6 foot. He's 220 pounds. He looks every bit of packed into that body. I mean, he is a good-looking kid weight-wise. And I'll tell you what, this is one of the most exciting players, and this is my opening line of my scouting notes. He's a transfer from Auburn. And I listed him, I said, this is one of the most exciting players I have ever had the pleasure of scouting.
Wow.
He has amazing ability to escape trouble when things break down. He took a ton of shots in the Ole Miss game physically and just remained standing despite all that was going on. He's always on the move. He tends to deliver the ball this way. And so you watch him play. Everything is kind of always in motion. I didn't think like he had the best mechanics, but the ball really comes off his hands. He's got some Kyler Murray, and if you're a Cowboy fan, you kind of understand what I'm talking about with Kyler Murray there, the way he delivers the ball from all the different platforms and stuff like that. But he's got some pinpoint touch. He's got some accuracy on the deep balls. He will drop it in the exact spot. They've got some receivers that are kind of fun to watch too, but he rarely sets his feet. Now, old Krusty here with like, oh, mechanics and he's not tall enough and all that.
No, I out-Krustied you on Mahomes. Yeah, if the ball goes where it's supposed to go, hell with it.
But this guy has that. He's got this sixth sense in the pocket to avoid trouble, the start-stop quickness, the body control, the balance. That's all rare. He's a hard guy to knock off his feet. He will bang off tacklers in order to get extra yards. You have to wrap him up to get him to the ground or he'll just run over you. But I've seen him change hands while running and then change back to the other hand to make a play. So he goes, he's constantly doing things with the ball, but he's not losing the ball. You don't see the ball on the ground and all that. And, you know, I'd say the final line was every play with him has the potential to be a big one. This kid right here is going to – everybody's going to try and kill him for measurables and stuff like that. Don't listen to them. Just watch this kid play. Watch him play against Ole Miss. Watch him play against Coastal Carolina. Watch him play against Troy. These schools right there, they will give you an idea. That Ole Miss game sold me on this kid just because it was a step up in competition, and he handled that just fine. He wasn't the reason why. He kept his team in that football game. So I'm going to give him some high marks. I think he's going to be one of those guys that people are going to talk about, like so much fun to watch. You asked me to pick over Pickett or Corral.
Mm-hmm.
I'm taking Corral in this one is what I'm doing.
But he sprained his ankle, Brian.
I know, but that's fine. He tried to play in the game. He tried to play. If he plays the game, they beat Baylor.
Seriously, probably.
They beat Baylor.
Maybe. I won't allow you to take that from my Sick and Bears that are listening, sir. We earned
Bears,
our dub.
No, Sick and Bears are fine. Probably Sick and Bears quarterback wasn't very good in that game.
Yeah.
Sick and Bears quarterback, I mean, their defense held it together because Matt Corral was. I think Ole Miss was compromised in that Sugar Bowl, but that's just me. That's just me.
Man, I really was impressed by Baylor. I can't believe you hate them so much. Okay, national title game. Would you like to start with Alabama, or would you like to start with Georgia?
Go ahead and start with whoever you want.
Let us start with the favorite in the game, even though they got beat the last time these two met. Mm-hmm. Let us start with the Georgia Bulldogs. Mm-hmm. And my initial statement on the Georgia Bulldogs is, man, if teams ran the ball every play, Georgia would win every game by 30. Their front... Mm-hmm. is disgusting.
Yep.
I don't think I wrote the name down, but I'm going to get you a name real quick,
mm-hmm.
and this will be the only time I'm going to talk about him here. Adam Anderson, Adam Anderson's the wrong one. Hold on. Let me get my names right. What an idiot. Get it together, brother. Jalen Carter.
Okay.
Jalen Carter for Georgia. You know how this goes. You're watching guys. This happens with me in Alabama every year.
8 years
I'm watching
of doing
receivers.
This. 8 years. You,
and you have to Google a guy.
Yeah.
You're like, wait, nobody told me about this guy.
Yeah.
And the reason is because Jalen Carter is a sophomore and he's not draft eligible.
Yeah.
I think Jalen Carter might be the best player on the field in this game. He's a defensive tackle for Georgia that wears 88. They have Jordan Davis, the giant man, and they have Wyatt, their other D tackle, who are both really, really good.
Yep.
And Jordan Davis will be a first round pick. Wyatt might be a second round pick, and neither one of them is as good as a true sophomore who's their backup or rotational guy, whatever. I just wanted to get his name out there because, oh my goodness.
Yeah.
I knew Jordan Davis was a first rounder, and I'm like, he ain't as good as 88.
Yeah.
That dude is a stud.
That you've now learned, well, 8 years of doing this, and you get better at it every single year. And the thing about it is that I remember back in the day watching Florida State and Miami play, and you were always amazed with every team had these just super, super talented guys. And you're supposed to be watching this defensive end from Florida State.
Yep.
But then you end up watching a linebacker or a defensive tackle, and then you ask the scout who covers that school, who is that number 57?
True freshman, Brian.
Yeah. He's a redshirt freshman, sophomore.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Every year it was that way. And there was always somebody on, and that's what you get when you have a roster, much like with Georgia and Alabama, where you watch their tape and you're picking out guys, and you have to go Google the roster in order to find out that the guy's a redshirt freshman.
Yeah, I'd trade Jordan Davis in a second round pick for Jalen Carter, but he's not draft eligible. Okay.
Micah Parsons in that deal somewhere?
No, I'll keep Parsons. Although, speaking of Parsons, yeah, that's a great place to start.
Okay.
We'll start with Georgia linebacker number 17, Nakobe Dean.
Yeah.
And Nakobe Dean is awesome. I'm going to call him, because we talked about it beforehand, and we talk about the Cowboys a lot here.
We do.
I'm going to call him Little P, Tiny Little P.
Tiny P.
Like Little Micah Parsons.
Uh-huh.
Where Nakobe Dean is not small, don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
But Micah Parsons is very big.
Mm-hmm.
I watch Nakobe Dean, and I see kind of some of the similarities to Parsons in that I am anti-first-round linebacker for the most part.
Me, Parsons didn't take you out of that?
The reason that now you look at it and go, man, that was a great pick, is because of his pass rushing, not because of his off-the-ball linebacker play. It's because of what he does as a pass rusher. And you watch Nakobe Dean, who is more of a 6 foot, 225 guy than a 6'3 or 6'4, 250.
Right.
But he does everything. He is the dude that makes every tackle. He'll do the lineup over the center or over a guard in the A-gap and blitz, and he's really good at it. They can't stay in front of him because he's too quick. When you watch him take on or fight through blocks, you don't think he's 6 foot, 225. He plays bigger than that. He plays fast. He diagnoses quick. You watch him next to number 41, and he's running into him like, hey, no, the play's going that way, dude.
Yeah.
Like, he gets people lined up.
Yeah.
Nakobe Dean, to me, looks like the real deal Georgia linebacker. And I'll make a first-round exception for him because I think at the next level he can also be a really good blitzer for you and play good linebacker and get me 7 or 8 sacks.
Yeah, Jeff, I think you completely nailed this kid. I mean, this is, you know, you watch him, and I think the thing that is the most impressive about him is how quickly he can cover ground. I mean, he gets there in a hurry to make plays. I love the way he finishes. I think, you know, you don't see ball carriers break tackles when he's involved. I mean, he wraps them up. He gets them on the ground. I love the way he attacks the line of scrimmage. I love the way he's around the ball. He had a pick six against Florida that I saw where he was putting space on the outside, covering the back, and he was able to come away with the ball. He's like a super physical player the way he makes plays. He's not afraid, as you mentioned, to take on blockers, and he can get rid of them. When he's on the move, he makes a ton of plays. And teams like Alabama, whose offensive line is pretty good, you know, they've got to account for this guy. And they know him. They've played against this guy before. This will be interesting with round two, you know, how Dean and these other Georgia defenders play in this football game. But Alabama has to be well aware of where number 17 is. I mean, this guy's, like I said, just relentless in the way he plays. I would love to see where NFL scouts – I'd love to see if NFL scouts trying to grade him down because he's a 6 foot linebacker, but you just can't discount the number of plays he makes. Seriously. I mean, there's teams playing with short linebackers. This guy makes every single tackle. I think he's a first-round pick for sure.
Yep. I would imagine that we will see Nakobe Dean picked somewhere between – 15 and 30?
I would say somewhere, I kind of felt like that he was more, I would even raise that. I would say somewhere between 15 and probably maybe 25. I wouldn't say in the last five, but I'll raise him up five more. I think teams are going to be really, really impressed with the way he runs and the way he gets to the ball.
Super smart, too. It's one of the things that I really notice when you're watching the run game is that he's one of those guys that has eyes on the running back, but he can feel everything that's happening around him, play off and around blocks without even looking at them.
Yep.
So he's my first pet cat of this draft class.
Like it.
And Dallas Cowboys, if you pick in the 20s and he's there, I'm not mad at you for picking another linebacker.
Yeah, there's a couple of linebackers that I've looked at in the draft, our guy at Utah as well. And I'll tell you what, I was super impressed with both of these kids. If you're a team looking for linebacker in the first round, it looked like there's a couple of good options there.
Jordan Davis, number 99 for Georgia.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have the measurables in front of me, so I'm going to guess.
6'6", 360?
I was going to guess like 6'5", 360. Yeah. Okay. He's big. You want to go first?
Yeah, sure. This is a massive guy that moves really well. He's super active in the way he plays. He's an absolute load when it comes to having to block him one-on-one. He's especially difficult when he gets his shoulder on the center of the guard and just charges the gap. Super disruptive on the move. He just doesn't sit in one spot and allow you to block him. He'll make a share of tackles behind the line of scrimmage or down the line. He's not going to throw a ton of pass rush moves at you as a blocker, but his arm over is one that does a good job of freeing him up. I will say this. He is one of those guys, you see him as part of a rotation on early downs, and the coaches will sub out in order to get another guy in at the nose tackle spot. But he could be a difficult guy to move in the running game, as you talked about, Jeff. He just doesn't look sloppy. This guy's not a sloppy-looking 360-pound guy. But, I don't know. Will people compare him to Vita Vea and stuff in Tampa? Will that be the comparison? I think Vita Vea is probably a better player than this guy. But I'll tell you what, man. Somebody is going to take this guy, and he is going to play and be very disruptive for them.
Yeah, and I think the Vita Vea comparison will come just because of
how massive he is.
Yeah, just because he's that big. Yeah. I thought Vea was a more nifty sort of athlete to go
Quick-footed
with.
Quick-footed guy.
Yeah, to go with being that giant. Whereas Jordan Davis, I think the only question about Jordan Davis when it comes to as a prospect is how high are you willing to pick a guy that's not going to help you with your pass rush, right?
Yeah.
Which there will be a team, I think, in the towards the end of the first round, middle end of the first round, that I would think is just going to be like, that guy by himself is our run defense.
Yeah.
Like, that guy is our run defense. A and B gap are now closed.
Yeah, you and I will be working on this draft, and we'll be talking about it, and you'll get down to that pick somewhere between, like, you know, maybe 18 to 25, somewhere right around there, and then we'll look at each other, and his name will be called, and you'll go, my gosh, what a great pick at that spot. You know, what a great fit. It'll be one of those 3-4 teams or somebody like that, you know, needs a big inside presence to go with a really quick under tackle or three technique.
All right, so there's two Georgia front seven guys that are going in the first round. Next, Trayvon Walker, defensive end for Georgia. And I will start with, you know, sometimes in your notes you actually type out things like good-looking player. It's probably your fault that I do that.
Sure.
Like, he looks like the defensive end you want to build, where it's like, oh, yeah, that's 275 pounds and long and strong, and it's just like, yep, that's a defensive end.
Yeah.
That, I think, is why Georgia is such an incredible run-defending team, is because they have three defensive tackles that are monsters. Hell, maybe more than that. Trayvon Walker playing the end, I think, is an outstanding run player, because the first thing that jumps at me about him is the ability to just extend at will on offensive linemen, where it's like that dude knows how to keep pads down, use how long he is, free himself up, make plays in the run game. Our buddy Dane Brugler has him as his number 9 prospect in the draft. I will say that I will not be that high on him.
Mm-hmm.
I do think his ability to play the run and his movement skills are really good for 275 pounds.
Yep.
Like, when he's moving sideways or backwards or closing down the line, you're like, man, that's kind of linebacker athleticism. It looks that way.
Mm-hmm.
What I didn't see a ton of is ability to, like, bend the corner and get to the quarterback or an array of pass rush moves.
Yeah.
So, like, I love what he is physically as a point of attack guy, as a shed blocks, as a you're running away from him in the zone read, watch him cover ground. So I think there's a lot of physical gifts. I didn't see much in terms of pass rush moves or bend. And maybe that is, as we watch him more, or as I watch him more, maybe it's a product of what Georgia asks him to do. But I just didn't see a ton of great pass rush out of him. I saw more of a run player that moves really well.
Yeah, it's funny because in Brugler's top 50, he has several of these defensive ends or these edge players. I think he's got 6 of them that I've already looked at right now, and I totally agree with you. I personally don't have him that high to where I think the two Michigan kids are really good. I think Purdue, the Karloftis, think is how you say his name. I think there's probably 4 or 5 guys that I would much rather have than him at defensive end. I kind of feel like I agree with you. I think you've got the linebacker stuff right about him. But they play him in that 3-man line, and he's an edge player, and he'll kick inside. I mentioned.
And he'll play as a 4th guy standing up.
They do
a lot of different things on their line.
Exactly. They do a lot of things. And you're right about the long arms and how he controls blockers, and he's He's kind of a thinly built guy. I think he's at 275 pounds right now. But, man, you don't see really any problems with him handling these big offensive tackles, the burst, the change of directions. He can cover ground in the open field. He'll run the ball carrier down, no problem. They use him on those games and stunts and stuff like that. He'll take on his share of double-team blocks, kind of hold his own. He's got toughness. He's got desire. I don't think he got bullied very much in the tape that I watched him play, and I was impressed with how quickly he was able to close on the play. But, man, like I said, there's some other defensive ends in this draft. It'll be interesting to see where they all shake out, but I kind of have him as that fourth or fifth best guy right now. You know, I could see him play in a couple of spots for you, maybe hand-down defensive end and maybe a linebacker, outside linebacker in a 3-4 front standing up.
Next man for Georgia, and this is where I'm going to make you take a storytelling break because Lewis Cine, I believe is how you say it, is Dane Brugler's 36th ranked player. This is a safety for Georgia that probably is going to be a free safety in the NFL. I'll tell you a lot of things that I do like about him, but as a sidebar here on Trust the Tape, presented by Boomer Jacks, who we absolutely love, find the Boomer Jacks nearest you and go watch the sports. And there don't have to be sports on to go to Boomer Jacks. They've got an incredible menu, tasty drinks, specials every day of the week. Look them up, boomerjacks.com. When you have an amazing front seven, a lot of times when I'm watching a safety, you could go 10, 15, 20 plays. And it's like the internet meme gif where you're poking something with a stick on the ground. That's like, do something. Because you don't have to do anything because the front seven has made every play. And it's like, it can be tough. And so the story I demand that you tell is about when you were working with, this was the Cowboys, right?
Yeah, Cowboys.
And you had to help Jerry Jones with a safety.
I did. It was a long time ago. It's Ed Reed. Ed Reed, where I used to be responsible for. I had the laser pointer. So, like, I would always point out, like, in the room.
You were a scout for the Cowboys.
I was a scout for the Cowboys.
When Jerry would be in the room, you were laser
pointer. I was laser pointer man. And so what I would do is I would take the laser pointer dot and I would put it on wherever the player was so Jerry didn't have to find the player.
Right.
That's where you and I have developed the one sock up, one sock down.
Yes.
Sweatband, one glove, no glove, two sweatbands, you know.
I thought I had with Bama that Jameson Williams is mouthpiece out guy, but Mechie is too.
Mechie will do it too.
So it's like, dang it.
Yeah.
I can't use that. Then I figured out their stances.
Yeah, and then sometimes you get like, for example, Arkansas, they're a very talented receiver, Burks. First half of the game, he went one sock down, one sock up. Second half,
well, he's the 6'3 guy that's 230 in the slot, Brian. That's how you find him.
But he also went both socks up in the second half. Yeah. But anyway,
South Alabama guy or whichever school Bobby, the guy I started with, was wearing different jersey numbers. But I figured out the way he
don't
ran.
Don't jack with me on that.
I figured out the way he ran, and
but
I had to do that.
The whole thing, and I'm glad you brought this up about Ed Reed, and because he was at Miami. And so we'd watch Miami tape, and you always, Ed Reed at Miami at the time, sometimes he wouldn't even play on the screen. So, like, Jerry.
You got the all 22, but it's actually all 21.
All 21 is what it was. So they would be like, everybody would be looking, and then I would take the red dot and put it a foot behind off the screen. And like that would like to tell Jerry that he's not on the screen right now.
He's back there somewhere.
And so then
you'll see him when he catches the ball.
Yeah. Tom Siskowski would then run the tape, or Larry Lacewell would run the tape, and then all of a sudden Ed Reed would come running into the frame. And then I would pick him up once he ran into the frame. So you have some of these guys, and you mentioned this about this particular Georgia corner safety. He's one of those guys. I mean,
not off the screen.
He's
it's
not
just
off
that
the
a
screen,
lot of times you're like, oh, he
but
didn't
he's
do anything.
Standing at the pile a lot. But when he gets in the pile, I saw a physical player. I did see a guy. I saw a guy throw his body around in order to make a play. I kind of felt like forward, back, it really didn't matter. He didn't labor all that much. I did see some smoothness to this game. There were a couple times where they kind of put him in some covered situations. I saw a snap against South Carolina where he was late adjusting to a receiver on a deep crossing route, and he got there a tick late, and the ball was there. I've seen him playing coverage on the slot versus a receiver and carry a tight end. He likes to disguise where he's coming from. I mean, because sometimes you see him, he's back, he's over, he'll walk up. But, you know, you get he's pretty quick at getting from one spot to the other. I like the ability to pedal when he was able to, when he had to do that stuff. You know, was he was using the scheme as a blitzer too. He'll come flying forward in an attempt to time a blitz and got there just a step slow a couple of times. But he's type of safeties you could do a lot with, because I feel like you could play him up, you could play him back, you could play him in coverage. I didn't see a guy that was just a one type of position player. I kind of felt like there's a lot of things. He's 6'1", he's 190 pounds. Looks a little bigger than that on tape.
Okay, I thought he looked – I had him listed at 6'1", 200, and I thought he looked smaller than that on tape. I thought he looked skinny. Like he's so physical, but when he hits, they don't really go backwards, which makes me admire him more because he wants it. Like, he's in there for it.
Oh, no, he's all about that.
He wants to hit, and he wants to fly downhill.
I've learned this about watching Georgia tape so far. If you don't tackle or get to the ball, you're going to be standing over next to you and I. Over on the sideline.
They got five linebackers that fly.
They don't jack around when it comes to attacking that football. And so I kind of feel like, though, I'm really interested what his measurables are, and I'm kind of interested to see at the combine and stuff like that. With I think the pedal and stuff is fine, but I'm interested in some of the turning stuff that he's gonna have to do. But I could think you could do a lot of things with this guy just because of the ability to line him up in a lot of different spots.
For sure. I like him. I love that he's such an aggressive contact seeker for, again, a guy that I thought looked thin for the position. Like, not that he's going to physically overwhelm you, but he doesn't care that he's not going to. He is going to hit. Plays a lot of free safety. Sometimes they'll play two deep safeties, and he's not one of them. And he'll be like the lurker.
Yeah.
Like, he does
the
Yeah. Is there anything you want to do on any other Georgia defenders? Because I have little things on Devontae Wyatt, number 95.
Yeah, why don't you go ahead and do Wyatt and stuff like that? Because I was working down Dane's list and stuff like that.
I think it's a little unfair for him because he has a lot of he'll have explosive plays from the D-tackle spot.
Yeah.
The problem is their third guy in the rotation is so explosive that he doesn't look very explosive anymore.
You lose – the guy's probably a good player.
Right.
But the other two guys are, like, better players. So it kind of overshadows that guy.
And I think Devontae Wyatt, like, a lot of times, he's 315 pounds.
Yeah.
When he's lined up next to Jordan Davis, there will be a lot of plays where you can tell, Wyatt is the better penetrator.
Right.
And a lot of times can disrupt against a single blocker.
Yeah.
And he's a good player.
Uh-huh.
And I bet he's a day two pick.
Yeah.
But you just... you get screwed when you're next to the mountain, and then the guy who comes in off the bench is Ndamukong Suh at Nebraska.
Yeah.
But Devontae White's a good player.
Do you think Alabama is even going to try and run the ball? I mean, they had success running against Cincinnati. I know that's a whole different animal.
Maybe. But I love Alabama's offense.
Yeah,
like, if you're an NFL team, it's Bill O'Brien now, right?
Yeah.
If you're an NFL team that wanted an OC, I'm sure you get paid really well at Alabama.
Yeah.
I would be interested in Bill O'Brien because I love what they do.
Yeah.
It's wide open. It's bunch formations. It's motion. It's zone read. It's RPO. Their route concepts, I think, are really fun and creative and good.
Yeah.
I love Alabama's offense. And I think if they're going to win this game.
Just don't let Bill be your general manager.
Yeah, don't let him be the GM. It's a terrible idea. Yeah. But just really quickly. Other guys for Georgia, Channing Tindall, number 41, 6'2", 230 pounds, flies.
Yeah.
Like, I have awareness questions and diagnose questions, but, like, they've got these giants.
Yeah.
So when there's in the run game, if the giants don't disrupt it three yards back,
gotta go.
One of these dudes that runs a 4-5 is going to tackle you 2 yards past the line.
Yep.
Darion Kendrick, the former Clemson corner, is there at Georgia. I looked at him a little bit. He's pretty new to playing corner, but looks pretty good, especially considering that.
Mm-hmm.
Quay Walker, linebacker, number 7. Hey, guess what? He can run and tackle. Nolan Smith, linebacker, number 4. Guess what? He can come off the edge and turn the corner, and he can fly.
Yeah.
Georgia has a bunch of defensive players.
Should be a fun game, for sure, on that regard for Georgia and having to deal with Alabama's offense. So I kind of felt like, too, I mean, we could get to Alabama's guys real quick right here. You know, since you're my wide receiver whisperer, tell me about the Jameson Williams. What you thought about him.
I will need to – his production and his game breaking is absolutely unquestioned, right?
Yeah.
I will need – and it's January, so I'm allowed to cop out, especially on my favorite position. I've watched him play a lot. I've done tape on about a game and a half of Jameson Williams.
Mm-hmm.
At the moment, I actually think I prefer John Metchie, number 8. Jameson is, like, he's not a tall guy.
Yeah.
But he is, I don't know if you have words for this, high-waisted, long-legged. Like, he seems like he's a strider.
High cut.
Okay. And he can fly.
Yeah. Low cut, too, is another.
I think it would be high cut.
Yeah, high cut. Short body, long leg.
He can fly. He's a game breaker. His production at Alabama was outstanding. I think maybe he's a better Henry Ruggs, who was a top 15 pick. So it says, like, that says really, really good, right?
Yeah.
And maybe it's just that they complement each other so well, and I have a preference with wide receivers. But I think Mechie, as the quicker-footed, superior route runner in my eyes, after catch, able to, like, he's a burner after catch. Mechie is a chop feet, cut up field, lower shoulder. Yeah. So John Mechie won't play in this game.
Right.
And I don't know if he's declared for the draft. But at the moment, even though the world has Jameson Williams as top 20 and Mechie maybe second or third round,
right?
At the moment, I'm going to tell you I prefer Mechie. At the moment.
Yeah, I really like both players a lot. The thing that kind of is different about this guy, I kind of think this guy's just a natural player, you know? And I think things come easy to him because of his athletic ability.
Especially because in college, and this is probably one of my nitpicks, in college it bothers me that so many people play off coverage.
Yeah.
Because if you play off coverage against Jameson Williams, you're dead.
You're dead.
You're dead because you can't run with him across the field.
Yeah, that's what
I'm
saying.
You have to turn and run, so you're going to get stopped. You give him room to bend a corner and break a post, you're dead.
Yeah.
Like, when they played press on him, I think that can give him challenges because he's a longer-legged, thin guy. You can jam him up, and teams don't.
See, this is why I listen to you about wide receivers, because my notes, and it makes me feel better, because I said he makes more catches when there's separation.
Yeah.
When he doesn't get the separation, you don't see as many of the plays that he's – but I'll tell you what, man, the guy plays on special teams too. He's like a flyer on the punt team. He had a targeting call.
He got thrown out of a game.
Because
was it the SEC title game? Maybe the game before.
Yeah, the Auburn game? He didn't miss
it. I don't remember,
but
I saw it happen. I was like, oh, no, they just lost their number one receiver.
This guy plays with a ton of emotion, too. I mean, you could see he gets into having a play. But, man, I kind of felt like that he's one of those guys that the run after catch is so impressive with him.
Just burns.
Yeah, I mean, he puts fear in the hearts of these defensive backs the way he's able to get going up the field.
And maybe it's not that I don't like Jameson Williams as much as everybody else. Maybe I just like John Mechie more than everybody else. I think I could take both of those guys at the end of one, early mid two, and be happy.
I'll say this, though. I think there's some wide receivers that you're really going to love in this draft, Jeff. I know this is a big...
I love route runners, so I'm expecting to love Olave.
Hey, the Treylon Burks, I mentioned him from Arkansas. Jahan Dotson at Penn State's a little bit of a smaller guy. It's interesting. Drake London from USC is a fun player to watch. Chris Olave, I mentioned him from Ohio State. Williams, of course. Garrett Wilson is another one. I mean, I've already looked at all those guys. I think you're going to have a good time looking at these receivers.
Just briefly, I do want to mention that Pro Football Focus has two other Bama guys in their top 60. It's Jordan Battle, the safety, at number 25, and Christian Harris, the linebacker, at number 59. I do not have scouting reports on them at this moment. I apologize, Alabama fans. Sorry, Roll Tide.
Well, let me tell you about your offensive tackle there.
Yes, Evan Neal now.
Okay.
We've seen Evan Neal.
Yeah, have you seen Evan
Neal? Yes, I watched Evan Neal.
Okay, Evan Neal is a left tackle. This is a 357-pound guy was what we have listed right now. Again, another massive man. He'll surprise you how well he can move for his size. I think he does a really good job with body control and balance in the A&M game is what I watched. Ole Miss gave him a little bit more trouble in the game there, but he's really light on his feet. He's a two-point stance guy, but he also plays his hand on the ground. For being that big, it's hard for defenders to get around him. Yeah. I mean, there are times where he's a little late off the ball, but he's able to recover, get back in blocking position, long-limbed. He keeps the rushers off his body. He'll show some knee bend position when he gets away from the line. Mass allows him to just bully defenders. He's got some pop in his hands. There were some snaps where he knocked a defender down, then worked to the next one, knocking him down too. So I've seen him get a little overextended but not end up on the ground. I think that's a pretty good thing. With his balance, but I'll tell you what, man, there's not much of a problem with this guy when he is pass blocking, because he will, one hard shot with his hands, you see the defender just get knocked away from him. So you got to love that size, that strength, and being at 6'7" and 357 pounds.
Evan Neal's he's a stud. I mean, that's a top 10 pick, it looks like to me.
Yeah.
The only snaps I saw where it was like, oh, man, if he were a perfect player, maybe on this zone play to the right, he could have reached this defensive end.
Yeah.
But for his size, he's a good athlete. And I think a lot of the things that you're talking about are represented in some of the things that I noticed, which is like he can erase his own mistakes, right?
Yeah.
You watch him. I watched him where he got caught kind of lunging. I think it was the A&M game.
Yeah.
And most people, when you get caught lunging and you're kind of forward like that, it's over.
It's over.
But he's able to get, because he's so long, like a piece of the guy, his feet correct.
You got him.
He fixes himself. He's a monster. He can move people in the run game.
Yep.
Pass protection's easy for him. Your only choice is to try to go around him, and you got to go real far to go around
him. You need a scooter and a day pass to get around that guy.
Evan Neal's super good.
Yep.
And so, according to Dane, according to Pro Football Focus, and we'll get so many more guys from both these teams watched, but according to them, Georgia clearly has more players than the top 50, top 100 players.
They do.
And the reason that doesn't necessarily mean they're going to win the game is because Bama's non-draft eligible quarterback is better than Georgia's quarterback.
Yeah.
So
that's a Heisman Trophy winner at quarterback right there. And besides, too, Alabama's running game's good, too, with Robinson the back.
I think
that's going to be I think that's going to be a big part. I mean, we'll see. This is the Alabama came out in the game and they against Cincinnati and said, you know what, you're not good enough to handle the run. And let's see if they try and do the same thing against Georgia. I think it'll be a little bit more difficult, but man, it should be a heck of a football game.
Prediction?
I'm going to take the Tide in this one. Nick Saban once again an underdog in this thing. I think Kirby Smart won to a this could be a game. This could be a program changing game. If Georgia were to win the national title, we might see Georgia have that run like Clemson did, you know, for the last
wherever
year they're in the
run through a couple of quarterbacks that are good.
Exactly. This could be the tailing game, the thing that really, really turns this Georgia program around.
I will take Bama by between 4 and 10 points.
Yeah.
And that is because I believe that quarterbacks are incredibly important. And
I'm
taking Bryce Young over Stetson Bennett.
Yep.
And we will get to see. Fun matchup to watch will be, by the way, we mentioned Trayvon Walker for Georgia. He tends to play on the defense's right.
Mm-hmm.
Evan Neal is the left tackle for Alabama.
There you go.
So if Trayvon Walker wants to prove me wrong, thinking he's more of like maybe a second round player than a first.
Yep.
Go whip Evan Neal's ass.
I agree on that.
Let's see what you got.
That's a good film to watch.
All right, thank you. It is Trust the Tape presented by Boomer Jacks. If you want more of us, you can, of course, listen on 105.3 The Fan, the Cowboys flagship station where you can hear Brian and I. You can check out youtube.com/Jeff Cavanaugh. You can check out the 105.3 The Fan YouTube page where you can get Brian and Kevin Gray doing Cowboys stuff. All sorts of ways to find us. And you can also find us at Boomer Jacks. Go to boomerjacks.com, find the one nearest you. I'll probably be there. Whichever one you go to, I'll probably be there. And if not, Brian might. That's Trust the Tape, brought to you by Boomer Jacks. And we will talk to you next week.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s?
It's better over here.
Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.